shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Welcome to Shooting from the Lip. John Gaunt here. We're going to take a look with John at some of the biggest news stories of the week. We're going to look at what Christmas may look like. Will it be cancelled? We're going to be looking at those migrants again in the English Channel. US elections, of course. France and Germany going into lockdown. But John, let's kick off with a sad story right now. More people being attacked in France, in Nice. It's just going far too far, isn't it? What can Macron do there? What can, in fact, the West do?
Well, good afternoon, Craig. It's a terrible situation, isn't it? News breaking that three people have been killed, many others injured, they say by a lone attacker with a knife. There are almost now confirmed reports that one person has been decapitated, other news outlets saying two. This follows on, of course, from what happened with the beheading of the teacher Samuel Paty in Paris just a few weeks ago, and, of course, echoes of what happened to that French priest in rural Normandy a couple of years ago. It's obviously tied up, Craig, with the Charlie Hebdo cartoons and the fact that trial is still going on. Macron has stood firm after the brutal, and as he described it, execution of Samuel the teacher just a few weeks ago. But clearly the Islamists are not giving in. They're fighting back. This is meant to be a lone attack. The police have actually caught this man and arrested him, or they've got a suspect. They haven't shot him as they did with the attacker of the teacher, so maybe we'll learn more from it. But no, we've got a serious problem now in Europe, not just mainland Europe, here as well. Got to be very careful, though, to say, of course, and to always stress the fact that these are Islamist extremists. This is not the whole Muslim population, but it asks big, big questions of how that general population integrates into both Europe, especially in France. They've had a different way of doing it than we have. But this is a clear and present danger. And all of this on top of COVID. We just don't need it as a world.
No, we don't. It's terrible scenes. Just looking at some of the pictures coming through as we speak at time of recording. And it's more innocent people in Europe, John, going about their daily business, going to work, you know, looking after the kids, killed, decapitated.
I know. I mean, when you talk about decapitation as well, if you decapitate somebody with a sword or a huge machete, it's still horrendous, obviously. But this was done with a knife, just like the killing of Samuel the teacher. This is barbaric. There's no other word for it. It's savagery. Macron is right to stand up to these people. He's right to say the teacher was correct to talk about the Charlie Hebdo cartoons. The teacher gave plenty of trigger warnings. The kids didn't have to go. But we hear that what happened in that situation is some parents decided to issue a fatwa. Well, we can't live in that kind of society in the West. Macron should be tough. Every other European leader should be tough. I want no mealy-mouthed words this time from Boris Johnson. It's got to be total condemnation. We've got to stand up to these barbarians who, unfortunately, are living amongst us. These Islamist terrorists need to be wiped off the face of the earth. This is not an attack by me on the whole Muslim population, because I'm sure they want to go to the mosque, they want to bring their kids up, but to go to a place of worship, which is where this happened again, and it's not the first time, and we've had the burning down of churches and cathedrals in France as well, we have got to be worried about this. Surely a church or a mosque or a synagogue has got to be a place of sanctuary and safety. This is an attack on all of our values, regardless of our religion. And I want Muslim leaders as well to come out and completely condemn this barbaric act and the previous ones, and we've got to move forward. You know, if there's problems there with so-called Islamophobia and racism in France, and we know they treat it in a different way to us, we've got to address it. We have got to get on top of this. We can't just now all be, don't look back in anger, change your avatar on Twitter and sing Come By Bloody Yah. No, we can't. Decent people of all religions and creeds have now got to stand up and say enough is enough. And also, we've got a question. We've got a question. Are we getting a blasphemy law by the back door? Blasphemy is no longer a law in Britain in particular, but somehow it seems as if Islam, and I'm talking about Islam now and the Muslim faith in general, there's almost a blasphemy law. You can't talk about it. I think it's frankly ridiculous that you cannot show the pictures from Charlie Hebdo. We showed weakness when the first attack happened on the offices. Every news outlet in the world should have put those pictures, those cartoons on the front page to say we will not be called. We will not allow people to stop our freedom of expression and our freedom of speech. It's what we cherish, isn't it, in the West? And the mainstream media should have stood up against this and said, no, we obviously respect your religion. We obviously respect the fact that you can live among what is largely a Christian society. But we're not going to have this kind of nonsense where your prophet can't be in a cartoon. I mean, for goodness sake, where would Dave Allen be nowadays? And I'm making light of it, but I'm kind of saying any religion has to be strong enough, doesn't it? I wrote it in my Sputnik column the other week. No religion should be above criticism or ridicule in our Western societies or in any society. That's what we need. We have a robust debate. You don't have to be outright rude, but you also do not have to accept the idea that one religion says you cannot depict pictures of our prophet, and we all have to accept that. No, we bloody don't.
I'm just looking at the reaction in social media to this. Normally, John, the woke are very outspoken. They're certainly heard on Twitter. They seem to be very quiet. Do the woke have a responsibility here to step forward and actually say, this is wrong?
Well, we saw that with Samuel. He was decapitated as well with a knife in the streets of Paris or a Paris suburb. Yeah, very interesting, isn't it, how the woke work, the uber left. Well, they're not even left eye. They're the woke culture who normally they would condemn. Imagine if this was a far right attack on a Muslim person or a person of colour. They would be outraged. And again today, they don't know what to do. They're not sure. Because they clearly, if they are woke, believe in freedom of expression and freedom of speech. So when an Islamist carries out an act like this, they don't know what to say. It's as if they're almost playing, you know when you're a child and you play top trumps?
Yeah.
I know, I've got a better tank than you, I've got a better car than you, and you get so many points. It's a bit like that with the woke brigade. Listen, this attack and the attack on Samuel and the attack on that priest in rural Normandy, these are outrageous. These are barbaric. They're savage. And you don't change your reaction to them just because is an Islamist, if you follow where I'm coming from. The woke have got responsibility for this. Macron talking tough straight afterwards, of course, after the barbaric killing of Samuel Paty. And I'm sure he'll come out and be just as strong today. But he needs other Western leaders to be just as strong. And you know what? He also needs Muslim leaders to come out and condemn this. This is just horrendous. To think this is happening on the streets of Europe is just beyond us. And the big fear, of course, is, and my heart goes out to the people of France today, but it'll happen here, won't it? It'll happen here. Now, if there was an attack by the far right in this country, like there was at Finsbury Park, everybody should condemn that as well, of course. And if there was a rising tide of Islamophobia and, you know, somehow there was a reaction to any kind of terrorist atrocity, of course it should be clamped down on and the full weight of the law should come in. But at the moment, we all seem to be hushed, don't we? The BBC will report this later in their usual mealy-mouthed way, rather than saying, this is barbaric, this is an Islamist terrorist attack, this needs to be condemned.
Absolutely, John, absolutely. I'm just wondering, because there's around a week between these attacks, the Samuel Paty attack, the Nice attack. Do you think the surveillance services, the security services rather, are doing enough?
Well, there's always that question, isn't there? But as they say, you don't know how many they're foiling, and you also, they only have to be successful once, don't they? Or in this case, twice, for them to spread terror. Terrorism is about spreading terror. It isn't normally about killing yourself and killing other people. It's about people being scared. But yeah, I think also, I think the security services, both in this country and indeed in Western Europe, they've got to up their game, obviously. But bit of a problem, isn't it, when you think in Britain alone, according to the government's own figures, there's 23,000 people living amongst us who are supportive of this kind of thing. There's 3,000 people, these are the last figures I saw, and it's a couple of years ago now, 3,000 people who actually want to do us harm, and then I've got surveillance on thousands of others. This is a problem. This is a sickness within the Muslim community. And, like, you know, the woke and everybody else, and indeed the Muslim community, can go on about the fact that Western governments have bombed their countries. They are responsible for this, that and the other. But in the end, it's not them with the knife on somebody's throat, is it? I had too much airtime for the apologists. Now we have to get really, really tough. It's a similar problem with the illegal migrants who are trying to get over the channel. There's no point in pussyfooting around. 7,400 at least have got into our country. By the way, I'm not suggesting they're all Islamist terrorists at all. But, you know, the death of that family of five just two nights ago, it was bound to happen. It was bound to happen because, again, we've pussyfooted around this. There's almost a whole industry surrounding getting these people off the beaches of Calais and Dunkirk and on to Dover. Now, this boat with this family in, these Iranian Kurds, and my heart goes out to them and their relatives, they'd paid £21,000 to get on that boat. Well, that boat wasn't small, Craig. That wasn't like a little dinghy that me and you might have played in at Skegness. It would have had to come in on a trailer. So why aren't the security services monitoring these beaches, seeing when the trailers are coming in and arresting people? This kind of softly... And why aren't we also deporting them straight away? Give them a hot meal. If they need new clothes, put them in new clothes and straight on the plane, straight on the boat. Priti Patel has talked tough about this. She's done sod all. We need to send a signal that Britain is not a soft touch, and if you want to come here, you've got to go through the right channels. That will then decrease the market, but I cannot understand why we can't arrest the people who are doing this. Our people, our police must know, and they're French. And what's the point of the European Union? I know we're leaving, but what's the point if we can't do this together? It's a complete and utter joke, which has turned into another tragedy. And those five, that family, they won't be the last to die in the channel this winter. It's horrendous on every level.
I was watching some mainstream media reports talking about this story, John, and they had a charity on saying, you know, maybe we should just open the border so that these things don't happen. And I couldn't believe what I'm hearing. Now, maybe I'm being cold-hearted here, and let's be honest, it's a terrible tragedy. It is. There's no denying it. But these people aren't escaping tyranny. They're escaping France, John. What's so bad about France and mainland Europe that they want to get to the UK?
Well, many people want to come to... I saw the BBC, they did, if you saw the BBC's news coverage of this, they had some guy on there. They said, well, why is it happening? Why are people trying to get here? And he came up with every excuse in the book. But the reality is they're coming here because English is the second language of the world. There's established communities here as well. And it's got to be said, and he didn't say it, because of our benefit system. They've seen the pictures of people who've got to Dover staying in four-star hotels. Now, I'm not saying, like some commentators that I have in the past, treat these people like cockroaches. Of course not. You can't blame an individual wanting to get out of somewhere like Libya and wanting to get to Britain. But the rules are you apply in the first safe country you get to. The French are just waving them through. But we're doing nothing to protect ourselves. As I say, if the people were rescued or caught on the beaches of Dover, we filmed it. We put them on coaches, we looked after them in a very humane way, but we sent them straight back to France and we videoed it, put it on social media. We would show people that Britain is not going to tolerate this? And that's what we need to do. And that isn't cold-hearted. That's sensible, because you talk about that. What about my friends in Coventry who are from Jamaica? And if they're trying to get a relative in, who Jamaica, part of our Commonwealth, or it was, they can't come in because there's a kind of racist sort of thinking in the Home Office that all young Jamaicans, or even old Jamaicans, might be drug dealers. Well, I'm sorry, a Jamaican's got a lot more right to be in our country than somebody who's coming from Libya. And if they want to come here and they've got the right skills, they should apply through the proper channels. They should not be jumping the queue. And this is how we end up with my hometown Coventry having an alleged 40-year-old, a 40-year-old, in a fifth form class, Craig. Big story over the weekend as well. This is just nonsense. Britain is a great country. We've always looked after people who are genuinely fleeing persecution. But everybody knows the majority of people on the beaches and in the forest by Calais and Dunkirk are economic migrants. Well, I feel sorry for them. And we may even have had something to do with the economic plight of their countries at the moment. And I can accept that argument as well. But I'm sorry, they're illegal. Everybody who gets out of a raft at Dover is committing an illegal act. That's just the truth. That's just the plain truth. Why can't our politicians say that? And that doesn't mean we shouldn't carry on having well-controlled, managed immigration. Britain is a greater country because of well-controlled, managed immigration. So it's not a racist trope I'm putting out. It's a sensible one. And we cannot allow everybody in, particularly at the moment. Have you seen the jobless figures? How many people are going to lose their jobs in Britain once, you know, we begin to understand that furlough's over? It looks like Boris Johnson is doing sweet FA for most people. We can't have more people coming in without skills, can we?
Well, can we, John? We'll find out, probably, in the second half of Shooting from the Lip.
Shooting from the Lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt. Shooting from the Lip.
Welcome back. John Gaunt's here with me. I'm Craig Johnston. Gaunty, loving your opinions, loving this straight talking. We were just talking about people desperate to get to the UK, these illegal immigrants. What do you think Priti Patel should do?
Priti Patel needs to stop talking tough and start acting tough. How ridiculous is it that we've got people now in four-star hotels? In Hull, for example, the Paragon Hotel, I think it might be a Hilton now, right next to the bus station. I know, well, I lived in Hull for quite some time. It was a really upmarket hotel. Now you can't go in there if you're a British citizen. It's closed, but it's not closed. It's fully open to these asylum seekers. And there's even an example of that in Priti's own constituency. As I say, I'm not talking about letting these people drown. I'm not talking about putting these people in prison. But I am saying we need to send them back to France. We also, at the same time, need to be talking to France and other European countries to work out how we're going to deal with this. Because it's like they're just going to keep coming, aren't they? Up out of sub-Saharan Africa, up through Europe, and eventually a lot of them are going to try and get here. So I think we do need to work collectively with Europe. But in the end, Priti's job is, she's the Home Secretary. First duty of any government, any Prime Minister, any Home Secretary, is the protection of our citizens. And allowing all these people to come over at Dover is just a nonsense. Start acting tough. Forget about talking tough. Act tough. Send these back. And if the French want to make an issue of it, we'll have to have it out with the French, won't we? I mean, it was brilliant at the weekend when the SBS, SAS Special Forces took no mess in. They got on that oil tanker and they dealt with it within 9 minutes. There's a joke going around that by the time they got back to their base just up the river, up the channel, their tea was still there and it was still warm enough to drink. But that's how we should be dealing with this. And now people are saying, well, let's put the military on the beaches. Perhaps that's what we're going to have to do. But let's remind ourselves, we've also got a twin threat. We've got this massive threat at the moment from coronavirus, and that needs to be tackled as well. But one thing's for sure, letting in loads more people who haven't had any kind of medical check is not a good idea. I don't even think it's a good idea for the illegal migrants to do it. And to, you know, we've just seen a family die in the most, I just can't even begin to think how horrendous their death was. We've let a family die in the cold sea at night time. How comfortable are the liberals? How comfortable are the woke with that image? Because they should be disgusted. And when you talk about charities, there are charities now on both sides of the channel who are getting grants off the government to help these people. Well, this is not the way to move forward. As I say, it's been turned into an industry, both by the crooks who are getting the people over here, and I think by a lot of the NGOs and the charities.
So we're moving into November, John, and we know that France and Germany now will get into lockdown for November. Christmas just around the corner. Is it going to be cancelled?
I don't know about it being cancelled. What we need now from Boris, and we need it today, I mean, when you look at this Imperial study that's come out this morning, Imperial College. Now, remember, this is different to people turning up at test centres. They have sent out tests for several months now, and they say their modelling now shows that 90,000 people a day in England are getting infected with COVID-19. This is a major wake-up call. I know they've been tarnished with Neil Ferguson and the rest of it, but 90,000, if they're anywhere near accurate, Boris has to act. The fundamental problem with Boris Johnson is back in March the 12th, when he allowed Cheltenham Festival to go forward, the big Liverpool football match against Atletico Madrid, etc., etc., and he said there was no need for masks. Him and Jenny Harris, his deputy chief medical officer. He dithered and delayed, and I think he has blood on his hands. Certainly then there was the care home scandal. He didn't act quickly enough. Then I think he acted too quickly to release us all again and eat out to help out, save a tenner, but get a side dish of COVID-19. It didn't quite work, did it? They spent 510 million on that. Now they can't find 20 million quid to give the poor kids of this country a hot meal. It disgusts me. I'm a traditional conservative. I like to think of myself as a compassionate and caring conservative. This party and what it's mutated into is disgusting me. Absolutely making me sick. But what does he do now? Well, the answer now is he has to, I think, probably go to a full lockdown like France and like Germany. But again, there's the problem. How do you go to, if you look at Germany's lockdown, it's not really a full lockdown. And even France, they're still letting the kids go to school. Their university kids are being told to stay at home now. Well, again, why did we ever open the universities up? A cynic would say it's because the universities needed the money and so did the government, and that's why they sent our kids back. Now, our students don't really get that ill with it, do they? But they've clearly spread it. And I think it's the same with schools as well. I think the schools are spreading it, the kids. I don't think another 4 weeks off school would be any harm. He should have announced another lockdown last week, so i.e. now that we're in half term. The other thing that he's got to do, and this should please you being Scottish, it's a disgrace that he's not pulling in Nicola Sturgeon. He's not saying, come on, Arlene. And he's not bringing in Mark from Wales, Mark Drakeford, and working as a united government. This is a pandemic that doesn't respect borders. They should all work together. And we need to have the same rules. People keep saying to me, today I've had some people on at me, why should Cornwall be put into a national lockdown? They haven't got it. It's like, have you read the Imperial report? Clearly they haven't. It's clear, and especially now after half term, Cornwall and the South West will grow at the same level. The only good news, well, it's not good news, but because London looks like it's already now in a position where it should be in tier three, you may now find that Boris will wake up, smell the coffee and do a proper lockdown, because it's just similarly to the way he wouldn't give Andy Burnham the money, but then the next day did once London went to tier two. The whole thing stinks. The country is getting divided in terms of the United Kingdom into four separate countries on this pandemic. It shouldn't. It's now getting divided on a north-south thing in England. It shouldn't. We need a concerted, cooperative effort to get us out of this. And when people now start shouting and saying, oh yeah, John, but a lockdown doesn't work, it didn't work the first time. Well, it did work the first time, even though it wasn't in place quick enough and it wasn't stringent enough. It did work because it did mean the NHS didn't get overwhelmed. I only say we need it again now because of the failure, the miserable failure of Matt Hancock. How has he still got a job? He should have been sacked. So at least now, if we have another lockdown, perhaps he can get track and trace to work. I somewhat doubt it, but perhaps. A lockdown will never, ever get rid of the virus. It will just suppress it. It's logic. If you're not leaving your house, you're not going to be spreading it around, are you? That's logical. That's what I think should happen. And to hell with the economy. The economy is already busted, in a bust, like a busted flush. I don't think a bit more money is going to be a problem. I also, can people stop going on about mental health? There will be a mental health crisis in this country if we suddenly get thousands and thousands of people dying. And I'm also disgusted with people saying, oh, well, most people who are dying are 80-odd. Oh, that's all right then. We'll have state euthanasia. I see Brave New World is on the telly at the moment. A lot of people seem to be in favour of it. I'm against it. I say everybody deserves to be protected, and I think Boris must now work with the other leaders of this great United Kingdom and have a joint effort to get rid of it. And we, the people, need to play a part, which is why Victoria Derbyshire from the BBC, how dare she go in the Radio Times and basically say, I'm going to ignore it at Christmas. What signal was she sending? On the back of her £220,000 salary and the £75,000 she's going to pick up for going in the jungle in Wales. There's another question there. How can BBC personalities, newsreaders, go on a reality show? How can that be right, Craig?
Well, should she be fired for what she said as well?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like the BBC and the establishment, Jonah, the same thing. Funny that.
They are.
Finally, some votes are already in, of course, in the American election. We've seen Donald Trump with a new warm-up man, Nigel Farage. What a build-up he gave Farage. He said he was the king of Europe. Incredible.
Farage would have loved that, wouldn't he? I mean, the truth is, Nigel, if Trump gets elected again, and I'm pretty confident he will, if he gets elected again, Nigel's got himself a fantastic job over there. But I think he's going to be split because I think there's going to be a real opportunity in this country for a centre-right party, just like he did before with the Brexit Party, to come back to the fore because people are very, very fed up with Boris Johnson. They took those 80 seats basically on his personality and his charisma, his mojo. That's gone. People are very upset about COVID. I can't see the Red Wall then voting for Labour, but I could see if Farage came in on a ticket of really being hard about illegal immigration. Also, of course, don't forget, he has put the Brexit Party at the centre of the debate about school meals. He says, you know, that picture of a lobster, and he said if they can afford to do eat out to help out, and I agree with him entirely, then why can't they give kids this Christmas a free meal? I think Marcus Rashford, by the way, has done a fantastic campaign. I don't think that should be forever, but whilst we're in a pandemic, I do think it's necessary. So I think he's going to have a dilemma, Farage. He could have two jobs. And Trump, well, he's coming back massively. I was speaking to a guy yesterday who lives in West Palm Beach, a normal guy, car salesman, and he was ranting and raving about Donald Trump because Donald Trump, you know, forget the way the BBC twist and turn it and Sly News. There's a lot of MSM propaganda going on. I think, in the end, people will vote for Trump, especially because Biden doesn't seem to know who he's competing against. And there's this massive scandal at the moment about Biden's son, which many news outlets are suppressing. Why haven't we got that in the open? If that was Trump's son, everybody would be talking about it. I don't know whether he's guilty or not of the things that are being laid at his feet, but Joe Biden, he's kind of disappeared. He's taking no questions at his news conferences now. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. And Donald Trump has got many, many faults. But one thing's for sure, he's a straight talker and he's a tough president, and he'll be an even tougher president next time. And let's not forget his achievements. North Korea, peace in the Middle East. He hasn't gone to war like Barack Obama. There's been no military campaigns, has there? He's put North Korea back in their box as well. You've got to say he's handled COVID pretty badly, but then so has most Western leaders. So I say Trump will win. We'll talk about it, no doubt, in the next week or so.
Brilliant, John. Thanks for shooting from the lip.
Shooting from the lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.